You are listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. Archaeologist William Saturno has led excavations in Mexico, Belize, Guatemala, and Honduras. He even has some experience in Arizona at the Grasshopper Pueblo in the east central part of the state. And one of his discoveries even disproved the concept that the Mayan calendar pointed to the world ending in 2012. William Saturno will be speaking tonight at 7 at Glendale Community College, and he joins me now in studio. Welcome back to Here and Now.
Good to be here.
So, you, as I mentioned, you spent time in Arizona. I wonder if you could give us some background on that. Like, what did you learn? What did you like about it? Did you ever think about settling here?
Arizona was the first place that I ever did field work. This is where I came to learn how to do archaeology. And I came for 6 weeks and couldn't get enough and came back and actually did my undergraduate study at the University of Arizona down in Tucson.
How does one learn archaeology?
You do it. I mean, the best way to learn archaeology is to get dirty. And I was very good at that. Still kind of dirty.
But obviously there's more to it than that. So what do you need to learn to recognize whether you're doing things the right way, what you're finding is what you think you're going to find, or how do you know there's going to be an aha moment? I mean, all these things.
I mean, archaeology is sort of like a forensic science, right? I mean, you're out there looking at the remains left behind from some prior activity, and your task is really to put all those pieces together to create the story of those people that left those things behind. And so we often go at it with certain questions, but sometimes we answer those questions and we get not the answer we expected, which is great. Sometimes we see what we thought we'd see. But for me, it's really the science of putting those small clues together to make a coherent picture of how people lived.
What does it take to be a great archaeologist, which you obviously are, to make it so it's something where it's not just an activity where you're sort of okay at it?
I think, as with anything, I think passion is what makes someone great at whatever they do. To be really dedicated to it, to think the results are going to be very important, and to be able to impart those results to other people. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, if I'm just digging a hole in my backyard, no one really cares about that. But if I'm able to talk about how awesome the hole in my backyard is, then people will be more interested.
This is such a loaded question, but how important is it that we do look into the past, that we have people who are archaeologists who can actually tell us what connections the past makes to our present and future?
I mean, I think that as long as there have been people on the planet, we've looked to the past. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we always, whether we're creating mythologies about where we came from, stories about how we got to where we are today or where we're going, they all really rely on our interpretation of the past. And so as long as there have been people interested in the past, you could argue there should be people that specialize in answering questions about the past.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix, talking with archaeologist William Saturno. You may know him from National Geographic. He's in town at Glendale Community College tonight from 7 until 8. William, how did you come to focus on the ancient mysteries of the Maya?
You know, I came to study the Maya really as somewhat of an accident. I mean, I was working in northern Mexico and got the opportunity to visit a Maya site. And I mean, essentially, the grad students I was working with stole the project vehicle and drove to Palenque. Okay, I fessed up. That's what happened. But in visiting that site, that was really the first place, even though I had been fascinated by my work at Grasshopper and thought Veracruz and Mexico were spectacular, walking into the site of Palenque was where something really just clicked, and I knew that this was the place that I would have to spend my life doing this work, that there was a connection there that I hadn't felt before, whether it was the forest or just those spectacular masonry buildings springing out of the trees, whether it was just that inherent romance of that, or that it was really hot and I was happy to be out of the stolen vehicle. It could have been any of those things or a combination of them, but that's really where it took hold of me.
Well, we probably all like to think we have some kind of aha moment. I've used that phrase already, but an aha moment for an archaeologist must be something quite different.
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have a number of aha moments. Usually it's, wow, I was totally wrong. Aha, now I'm right. But in terms of finding something unexpected, in terms of being able to get a glimpse at what scholars in the ancient world thought about their own place in the world, Those have been some of my ahas, like getting into the heads of the people in the past.
So the Mayan calendar thing, there were some people that thought maybe the end of the world was coming in 2012 based on that. You got a lot of attention for disproving that. How much was there to disprove, and how did you go about it?
There wasn't a ton to disprove. I mean, really, any scholar of the ancient Maya understood that the Maya never really had a myth for the end of the world. And so any predictions moving towards the end of the world based on a non-existent Maya myth were probably easy to disprove. But, you know, my research focused really on how the Maya set up their calendars in terms of how they related to the daily lives of kings and how those kings tried to put themselves both in the present and root themselves in the deep, deep past based on observations in the night sky. And that's some of the stuff that I'm going to talk about tonight.
Great. Okay. You're not wearing a fedora, but is your life anything like Indiana Jones?
I'm much better looking, I mean, let's be honest, than Indiana Jones. But there are certainly aspects of my life that were much more like Indiana Jones than I ever thought getting into archaeology, right? When we get into archaeology, we're taught very early on that it's not really about adventure. It's really very meticulous. You know, it's mostly boring stuff, and you have to have, you know, the capacity to focus on the minuscule for long periods. And there's certainly a part of that, and there's a dedication to being accurate in what you do. But I've had more adventure in archaeology than I have in anything else.
Does adventure mean danger?
Yeah, adventure certainly means danger. I mean, the first time I did field work in the Salt River Canyon, I almost died of thirst. You know, a decade later, exploring in Guatemala, I almost died of thirst. I'm still not great with the drinking thing.
Well, I did offer you a bottle of water and you turned it down.
And I refused it, which is really what my problem has been. So there's certainly been danger. I've been hit by giant rocks. I mean, not a giant rolling boulder that I had to escape, but I mean, I've been clocked a couple of times by a falling rock. So, yeah, there's always danger.
So what's next? Where are you going next other than being at home?
Well, I go back to Guatemala. We continue our work in Guatemala. And right now we're trying to piece together the fragments of these murals that we've uncovered that had fallen down in antiquity and been destroyed in antiquity. We're putting those pieces together to sort of reveal the stories that have been lost.
So what's a day going to be like once you go back to Guatemala?
A lot of puzzle building. The day will involve me, lots of delicate fragments of plaster, and trying to put them all back together.
So what goes into the training, coming back to becoming an archaeologist, when you have this stuff that is potentially brittle, that people need to know what they're doing so stuff doesn't get messed up, how much training goes into that, training your team and making sure people are on the same wavelength?
Conservation is a huge part of what we do, and one of the growing aspects of the archaeological discipline, right? There was a time when I think archaeologists, we were willing to mess things up and then call conservators to fix them. And now we're much less willing to do so. Right now, it's about a collaborative process of these are materials. We know what we're getting at from the very beginning. And let's bring in specialists to best deal with these materials before problems arise. How do we avoid problems rather than solve them?
Well, did that cause controversy with this adjustment sort of rethinking as far as conservation goes?
Yeah, it definitely causes a bit of controversy, I think. And I think there are still practitioners that aren't as current in terms of using conservation science from the very beginning. But that can be very hard to do. I mean, the people that fund archaeology like to fund the finding of stuff.
Right.
They don't necessarily like to fund the preserving of stuff. And the preserving of stuff is really the much more important act.
So, final question, the mundane aspects of your life. When you leave Phoenix tonight, heading back to Boston, how long will you be in Boston before heading to Guatemala, and what's a day like for you?
Well, I'll be in Boston for a few weeks until the semester ends at Boston University, and then I'll be back in Guatemala. But my daily life, it revolves around imparting these pearls of wisdom to my students in classes and in field exercises,
okay.
Right? Teaching them the same way I learned, getting dirty.
And how intense are those field exercises?
They're pretty intense. I mean, I bring students down to Guatemala for 4 months at a time in order to get dirty like I did at Grasshopper.
Archaeologist William Saturno, you may know him from National Geographic. He's speaking tonight at 7 at Glendale Community College, which, like KJZZ, part of Rio Salado College, is a part of the Maricopa Community College District. Professor Saturno, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.